across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 26th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever and however you're listening on this rainy day up here on the lake right now. I got a question for you. If you were, say, you know, breaking the law and you were on trial or you'd already been found liable for something legally and you were told to pay a fine or put up a bond and you went to the court and said, you know, I just don't either have the cash or I just don't feel like paying it. Would you expect the court to cut you a break? Because for a guy like Donald Trump, who says there's two systems of justice out there, he's absolutely right. Just not in the way that he's saying it. We'll have details on how he got his mega bond significantly and mysteriously reduced in just a little bit. Also coming up on the program today, Congressman Mike Gallagher sure made a quick pivot from hero to villain among House Republicans with his abrupt decision to quit before his term expires. We'll share some of the reaction. Christina Laurie will have some of the sports-related stories in our daily newsletter. And let's see, in our second hour, well, busy second hour, we're going to have Dr. Kristen Lierley here to preview today's arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court about medication abortion. The Northland College community is faced with the daunting task of raising millions of dollars to keep the campus in Ashland open. We'll talk to two supporters about their efforts. And then we'll wrap things up with Jim Santel, who will tell us about the ways that he has refreshed his Saturday morning show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So a very busy day ahead here. And if you'd like to join us at some point, well, you can call or text us, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it. You can text it. You can also use the app. We'll be talking more about the app an hour from now in our Ride into Spring contest and give you today's keyword to text in through the app as well. So there's rain here. Snow had been moving out of Wisconsin as the temperatures warmed a bit. But again, we're on a bit of a temperature roller coaster for the next couple of days here. So take it easy on the roads, whatever conditions you're dealing with, whether it's rain or fog or even something that's still snowy out there. It's 39 here in Chippewa Falls, 33 in Hayward. Park Falls reporting 37. In Wausau, it's 43 right now. Green Bay's at 47. La Crosse, 42. Wisconsin Rapids, 48. Oshkosh, 49. Madison, 50. And it's 45 degrees in Waukesha. Why do we say Waukesha last? Because last but not least, that's where Greg Bach is sitting, where he makes sure that this little radio program that starts in a tiny, you know, Lake Wissota studio in Chippewa Falls goes out and down and around through the tubes and spheres and into your ears. Mr. Bach, thank you for that, and good morning.
Down the tubes, into the spheres,
I make it sound so complex what you do there, yeah.
Down the tubes, around the spheres, and into your ears, Pat Breitlow.
Probably should have just stopped it down the tubes is where the show often goes.
Oh, you're right. Down the tubes sounds terrible, too. Through the tubes. Never mind. All right. Hi, Pat. How you doing?
We'll come up with what are conditions like down there? Get rainy, rain or snow or fog?
It's rainy. It's just no fog, no snow. In fact, it's 45 and the rain is taking care of all the snow that was once here a few days ago. And when I got out of the car, it was like warm, like a warmish rain too, which was quite nice. Yeah. I won't lie. But yeah, it's not
24 hours ago, there was 10 inches of snow here. 10 inches on everything here. And there's so much less than 10 inches now.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, after the show yesterday, I thought, well, I'm not going to do the whole driveway, but I thought I'll get that stuff that the snowplow has put, you know, at the foot of the driveway.
Yeah.
That was the wettest, heaviest. Mm-hmm. And I've lived here in this house for nearly 30 years, and that was some of the wettest, heaviest snow. So, I mean, I took one scoop. I didn't even lift it. I just said, nope.
just left the shovel in the snow. You're like, I'm out.
Yeah, I could have. Yeah. So, but I thought, no, this what actually works here, and what I ended up doing was taking, you know, my Jeep and just running it up and down the driveway to give tire tracks so that Sherry had something to go into when she was going back up the driveway, which actually worked out way better than throwing out my back.
When we came back from Atlanta, we came back just after that massive snowstorm. Not even massive, but like a snowstorm in January. And, you know, we didn't know it was coming, and we didn't ask anybody to take care of it for us. So there was just a pile of snow. So as Bridget and I were driving onto our street, we're just like, nope, and just drove right over it. And just like,
oh, yeah,
that's how this is staying.
I can't remember when this was. Now it was the late 90s, where we came back from a winter vacation, and it had snowed like well over a foot.
Yeah.
And there was we were driving a minivan at the time because we had two little kids back then, and we were just like, "There's no way this thing the street was fine, but there was no way that minivan was going up our driveway."
Yeah.
So we actually had to just park it on the street until we could, you know, get out in our shorts and flip flops and, you know, start to shovel things out there, but. We did it, you know, because this is the season we live in. Hey, speaking of the season we live in, where are you on Peeps? It's Easter week, you know, all the Easter candy's coming out. So where are you on Peeps?
You know where I am with coconut?
Yes.
Like just a hair above that are Peeps.
So not as low as coconut, but pretty low. Okay, bleh.
The other thing is I enjoy marshmallow. But Peeps are, as you put it, a bridge too far. For me, I just can't do them. They're just and what's funny is that people will then begin to negotiate. Like, well, what about the purple ones? What about the yellow ones? Like, they all taste the same.
What?
And then they'll say, we got to let them get stale. I'm like, never in the history of food has like you have to let it sit for a while and go bad a little bit, just a little bit, and then it's really, hey, you know those eggs, you should let them sit out in the heat before like put them in the sun and then eat them, and don't even cook them, just crack them open.
I'm loving this over here right now because I can just see my wife's driving to work and she is just looking at the radio with an eyebrow raised right now, because that's what she loves. She loves to open up the package and let it sit for a day or two. And then she loves Peeps that way. So she's
Dr. Kreitlow, I'm so sorry.
Egg analogy.
But now when I meet you, I know what to buy you. I'll buy you some Peeps.
Some stale. Buy them now and go ahead and open the package.
I get you an open package of Peeps and found them on the ground. They should be delicious.
Hey, there's not a lot of sports to pass along, of course, because you get the Bucks playing tonight and then the NCAAs resume on Thursday. So the one sports note I wanted to share is, did you see either the video or pictures of the new scoreboard at American Family Field?
No.
They kind of gave it its premiere yesterday.
Oh.
This thing is a beast. I mean, it's like double the square footage of the previous one, which was huge itself. And I mean, and I've Target Field also has one of these massive boards, and I always
holy
monkeys! How big is too big? Now I've never been to the was it AT&T Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play? Apparently they have a big one, SoFi. But these things are just—you just look at it and you go, "This might be too much."
Honestly,
I like big TVs, but I don't know.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's nice. It's cool looking. But the one we had was pretty decent. Like,
it was.
It did the job. I don't understand.
Yes.
I mean, is this the first step in the improvements process? They're like, you know, the MLB was like,
they said that this one thing was already in the works beforehand.
Yeah.
But everything else will follow from it. But yeah, I guess this was on the way. Apparently, people were asking about the old scoreboard, saying, "Well, you know, can we buy it from you?" And I guess they don't even make some of the replacement parts for it anywhere. Again, planned obsolescence. The one thing I really didn't like about the photo or video of the new board is it was completely wrapped around with ads. So it's like, why? I've got all this game info or everything, but I've also got to look at 8 commercials at the same time. So I wasn't too crazy about that.
If I want to do that, I'll just go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, they pack a lot in there, but it is there and it will be ready for the home opener, which is a week from today.
And I might might be going. We'll see.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so nice.
I would love
nice.
That. I would love nothing more than to have the dreams of I was gonna say a baby Greg, but no, I just want to go to the game. Yeah, it's really cool, and the taking down and putting up process too. Like it's interesting. All right. I see you, Brewers. Let's try to win over 500 though this season.
Yeah, let's do that. Starting the day after tomorrow, when the season opens up in New York against the Mets. Jumping into the news here at 6:16, we'd be remiss if we did not acknowledge what happened in Baltimore overnight. And there's no need to dwell on it here because it's very early in the investigation. But if you missed it overnight, a huge cargo ship leaving the harbor smashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, a mile and a half long bridge in the Baltimore area, and the bridge just collapses full. There is video of it from a webcam. It is so reminiscent of what happened on the I-35W bridge in downtown Minneapolis over a decade ago now. I recall I was a state senator at the time. We were doing some kind of a public forum listening session, and somebody came up and handed me a piece of paper. And I just looked at them like I was being, you know, punked or something, and said, it says here that the I-35 bridge has collapsed, and, you know, people all went looking for their phones, and we saw what had happened right away. And you just can't believe something like that could happen. But it did, in that case, for reasons dealing with structural fatigue. And in this case, this massive container ship, there's no reason for it to happen. It's a wide channel. There's a wide distance between the spans, and it still managed to hit one of them head on. So, you know, it looks like something catastrophic had to happen in terms of failure on the ship, but it brought that whole bridge down. It's going to close one of the busiest harbors in the world. It's going to close traffic major traffic. That was what was it? 695, I-695. So one of the main thoroughfares around the Baltimore area. And of course, you know, the likely loss of life, even though it happened at 1:30 in the morning, local time, they still figure at least, I think they said, 7 vehicles went in the water. Thankfully, it wasn't during like morning rush hour, but still there's a rescue mission underway to see if they can find anybody who might have been caught up in that tragedy. So you'll hear about that updates throughout the rest of the day. When we come back here, we'll bring things back closer to home, including reaction to the abrupt resignation of Congressman Mike Gallagher, not sitting well with a lot of his fellow Republicans. We'll have that and much more still ahead on this Tuesday morning. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, here we already had some fun with Dr. Kreitlow over her love of stale teats. And now, of course, as we've discussed previously, she really does not like Hall & Oates. But
she's going to hate me when she meets me.
Honey, this was the number one song this day in 1977. So, you know, it's kind of obligatory that it had to play right now when I knew you were in the car hearing it on the
it's
way to work.
It's a banger, Dr. Kreitlow. A banger.
I know. Look, nobody's perfect. Even
you're right.
Even
I'm not
somebody. I mean, come on. She married me, for goodness sakes. We got to cut her some slack.
I am not going to weigh in on this discussion at all.
Good boy. Good boy. The Milwaukee Bucks play the LA Lakers at home tonight. You can catch the game on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, including Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, if you need a reset on the NCAAs, the Marquette Golden Eagles are in the Sweet 16, and they will play Friday evening at 6:00 against 11 seed North Carolina State. And the Badger men's hockey team opens up their NCAA tournament play Friday afternoon at 4:30 in Providence, Rhode Island, against Quinnipiac. So a lot to root for yet before the winter sports end and all of the spring sports get going, like baseball, day after tomorrow. All right, let's take a look at What is happening with the reaction to Green Bay area Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher, who had already kind of surprised some folks by announcing that he was not going to run for re-election there in the 8th district. He was going to be a target of, you know, Democrats looking to flip some districts around the country, and they see that one as a possibility. They see the 3rd district where Derek Van Orden is as a possibility. It was a little surprising when he said, nope, he's just not going to run for re-election. But then the other shoe dropped, and he said he's not even going to stick around and finish out his term. And there's been a lot of reaction about it. The Washington Post wrote up a long story about it. They quote Gallagher as saying, "Just because this Congress is divided, we cannot afford to waste the next 2 years lingering in legislative limbo or pandering for the press. We must act with a sense of urgency." Until he didn't. Until, as they say, he threw in the towel on a clearly promising political career. And he even, you know, rubbed a little salt in the wound by saying, "Trust me, Congress is no place to grow old," even though he had just turned 40. The Washington Post writes, "If there were a moment that exemplified the decline of the governing wing of House Republicans, this would surely be it." But then it goes on to list all of the other Republicans who are retiring. 5 committee chairs, that's more than 20% of all the standing committees. They include 4 members who were either second or third in seniority for a committee, and you used to have to wait forever to chair a committee in the House of Representatives. That's where the real power is. 3 former members of House Republican leadership are among the retirees, and what it's leaving behind is, of course, the far right wing, which having seen the Republican majority now shrink to 1. With Gallagher's departure, Republicans will have a 1-vote majority. And some of those Republicans who are responsible for this mess are already making noise about wanting to kick Mike Johnson out of the speaker's chair. Well, good luck with that. Who have you got waiting in the wings who can get any, you know, any kind of support? But of course, they'll take it even further. Georgia's Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene says she believes Mike Gallagher ought to be expelled from Congress, kicked out so that a special election could be held, because she's aware of the math that's involved here. Gallagher's retirement is chosen with a purpose. By choosing April 19th, as he did, it means there will not be a special election. It means that the seat in the 8th district will sit vacant from April 19th until January 3rd of next year, once we find out who wins this November's election. Had he resigned, I believe, by April 1st, then there could have been a special election. And that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, let's kick him out before that date, so that we can have a special election and hopefully get another Republican in the district. That's not going to happen. But again, it tells you what you're dealing with here in terms of a far right, you know, I won't say splinter group, because it is a substantive group, but not enough to govern and not enough to know that they need to work with other people in their own party and in the Democratic Party in order to govern. They continue this my way or the highway attitude that they feel like they can just force and jam anything that they want through force of will, to say, well, if we hold out, you have to bend to our will. It hasn't worked for them much yet. You know, they pick up little victories here and there as these spending bills are approved and as other legislation goes through. But that's no way to govern. It's no way to run a country. It's not the way you and I have to deal with things. If, you know, we're at work, if we're running a business, if, you know, whatever the case may be. But House Republicans, as the Washington Post goes on to say, if they keep disproportionately losing members like Gallagher, they're going to keep seeing results like those of the past 14 months, during which time they have set new standards for their failure to legislate and their internal discord. And it's true. They've only been in power, you know, just a little over a year, about 14 months. We had said at the beginning, based on everything that was indicated by Republicans running for Congress in 2022, that when they took the majority, a slim majority, but a majority just the same, we said, you know, don't look for much to happen because all they're talking about is impeaching President Biden and finding other ways to obstruct what or undo what a Democratic-controlled Congress had done the previous 2 years. They don't want to govern. They don't have a platform to govern on. And that is exactly what has happened in the interim. Meanwhile, over in the Senate, you have people like Senator Tammy Baldwin, who started her statewide tour around 19 counties yesterday. We'll talk about more about that in the coming days. But she did put out an update the other day about the rest of that federal spending bill that now keeps government functioning for the rest of this year. In it were all manner of earmarks. And again, for folks that have missed this previously, when I talk about earmarks and people used to say, we need to get rid of earmarks. No, we need to get rid of anonymous earmarks. You want to know if somebody's directing money someplace or another so that they can either take credit or you can blame them. You know, remember the classic bridge to nowhere. It's like, well, who put that in? That's what we deserve to know. And Senator Baldwin has a lengthy list of things that are going to, like, St. Croix County getting $400,000 for a county emergency operations center. The Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee is getting $900,000 to address community needs by helping teens graduate from high school. Hayward Memorial Hospital getting $2 million to support expansion of a clinic to improve and expand access to primary care and obstetrical services. On and on it goes. Family Health in Family Health Clinic is getting $2 million for South Central Wisconsin healthcare needs. That's literally bringing home the bacon in terms of what a politician does in Congress, is keeping government functioning and then making key decisions on the programs, services, and infrastructure that the country needs to operate. Christina Lurie has the uplift coming next. You're up north. Welcome back. It's time for the uplift. A quick check of stories that you can find in our daily newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. The newsletter is put together predominantly by my colleague, Christina Lurie, who joins us now. Christina, good morning.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, you know, it's March Madness time. It's also Women's History Month. There's ways that those things intersect. We've certainly seen it in some of the tournaments, the collegiate tournaments. And so I like the idea that during Women's History Month, as you're calling attention to so many women who've done great things in Wisconsin, that, you know, there can be sports can be one of those things. We've certainly seen the Badger women's hockey team have such a great season. But it's really now is at the point where it's, however things turn out with the team, it's a dynasty when you look at them year over year over year. How did it get to be that way?
And that's the case with so many Badger sports. That's what I find Wisconsin so fascinating. And I'm in awe as someone who grew up an Illini fan, that across the board, whether it's basketball, football, or in this case, hockey, they're just, you can always count on Wisconsin to be good. They rarely have a losing season. A lot of times they make it to the national championship game when we're talking about women's hockey in particular. And it's not that they just get lucky. And it's also not that they just naturally get all of the best players in the country. A lot of it comes down to how they're coached. And something that's really interesting about the team is that their head coach is a guy by the name of Mark Johnson, who was a former Olympic hockey player himself. Mm-hmm. And he's probably best known for his biggest moment as a player in 1980, when he scored 2 goals in that classic miracle on ice game against the Soviet Union, which was later memorialized in the 2004 Disney film Miracle. And he also added an assist on the game-winning, gold medal-winning goal against Finland. So he is leading this team. So it's no coincidence that they're doing well. Have you ever been to a women's hockey game, Pat?
I don't think that I have that. As I'm thinking back, I don't think so. And I certainly am not opposed to it. I don't get to nearly as many hockey games as I'd like to, but I've been to a couple of them already.
I would just recommend it. I didn't come here a big hockey fan. I still really wouldn't classify myself as a big hockey fan, but I am a sports lover. And the energy that's in Laban Arena, which is just right next to the Kohl Center, just north of it, is electric. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. It's really an experience. It's a great community. The fans there are really in it, and they cheer just as hard for the Wisconsin women's hockey team as the men's. And you rarely see that in college sports.
Well, it's absolutely incredible. You look at how the Badger women have done for volleyball, and it's basically like they took that electricity from the fall season and just moved it to the arena for the winter season for the hockey team. So good on them. I want to tell you my Miracle on Ice story. Because it was so long before you were born, but I did watch the game, got caught up in the moment. Like everybody in the U.S. did at that point. I was 15 years old at the time. It was just this huge thrill. But what a lot of folks don't know, and frankly, if you didn't know at the time, was, I mean, you were so focused on beating the Soviet Union that you realized it wasn't the gold medal game. It simply got them into the gold medal game. And the gold medal game was done on Sunday morning that particular weekend. And we were in church, and I thought, well, I'm going to miss the game. You know, that's how it is. You're going to church on Sunday morning. Didn't even think that anybody would be sneaking in a transistor radio to mass. And yet from the back of the church, you hear this murmur of cheers and the whispers of somebody going, oh, the U.S. won the gold medal. The U.S. won the gold medal. And lightning did not strike the church. So I think it's okay. And look, if one of those alums is now doing well for helping the Badger women's hockey team, then I think all the more reason he's had a good, charmed life.
And good for that fan. They knew that they needed some prayers for the hockey team to do well, but they didn't want to totally miss the game. That's right. And just last thing I wanted to add about women's hockey in particular is that it has just transcended pretty much all limitations at the university. It's gotten so popular that actually this year's commencement speaker recently announced is Megan Dugan. She's a UW-Madison alumni and standout hockey player. She played a bunch of years for Team USA, and now she's doing something really cool. She's leading the equal pay movement among Wisconsin hockey players and also nationally to try to, it's kind of the same movement that they're doing in women's soccer as well. They're getting the same viewership as men. They deserve to get paid the same. So it'll be really interesting what she says this May when she takes the stage in Madison. And it's great to see someone like her getting that university attention.
I sense we have another newsletter story coming up in a few weeks here that you're going to tell us all about. Let's turn to the Badger basketball team. And, you know, there's so many instances now of one and done. You don't really get to know some of these college basketball players on the men's side. They move on to the NBA so fast before they can really set up any kind of a dynasty. So people really get to know the freshmen, hoping they hang around, but however it works out, freshmen are getting more attention than ever on college sports teams, and that's certainly the case for the Badgers as well.
Yeah, so Wisconsin just has gotten honor after honor this season. They're having standout athlete. I mean, they really showed it in the Big Ten title game. AJ Storr has been a giant standout. He was named second team All Big Ten. And Chucky Hepburn, he was another one. He surpassed 1,000 points during the tournament. So the future is looking bright for the Wisconsin men's basketball team because of this freshman by the name of John Blackwell. He was named Big Ten Freshman of the Week 4 times this season, and that's a team record for the Badgers. It also ties a record for the Big Ten, and he's just been consistently good. I mean, in the past couple weeks of the season, he averaged 17.5 points per game. He shot 62.5%. And then he was also 11 for 14 at the free throw line. So players have really been able to depend on him. And he's also not one of the freshmen that is likely to declare for the draft. So it's nice to know that he'll be back. I'm hoping that Chucky Hepburn will be back as well. It's going to be so interesting to see who and who doesn't return. I mean, right now, the big gaping hole will be Tyler Wall leaving. That'll be hard to fill. But again, as someone who grew up an Illini fan, we always envied Wisconsin because they have such a great reputation of retaining players, but also signing players that are often Mr. Wisconsin basketball. They get a lot of those players to go to their state school and not sign with a North Carolina or Kentucky. And that's so impressive.
It is. And it's something that we're very proud of here. We're not just, there's some places where the transfer portal spins so much for some athletes, it almost creates a black hole in the program. But then you've got those Wisconsinites who do move on to professional sports, and some of them become stars and a couple of them become superstars. And I think that that's a very fair term to describe J.J. Watt, who is now officially a sports senior citizen. Not 65, but 35. And I'm kidding, because as we've learned, there are more and more athletes who hit 35 and up, and many of them are, just kind of hitting their stride. So what do we want to say about his best moments so far as he hits his mid-30s?
Well, I mean, if you want to feel bad about yourself, you just think about everything that J.J. Watt has accomplished in 35 years. It's more than most people accomplish in their lifetime. His first 3.5 decades read a lot more like a movie script than real life. So just a quick overview of his biggest moments. He was born, of course, in 1989 in Pewaukee. By 2006, he had earned the Woodland Conference Player of the Year Award at Pewaukee High School, and he's named a 2-star recruit by Scout.com. Then the next year, he goes on official visits to Central Michigan, Colorado, Minnesota. He chooses to play at Central Michigan. And then the year after, so 2008, he decides to forego his starting spot at Central Michigan, disregard the guarantee, and try a walk-on spot at the University of Wisconsin. He grew up a Badger fan. His heart was here and he wanted to play here. So he redshirts that season and is ultimately named Wisconsin Scout Team Player of the Year. Then 2010, that's really Watt's breakout year. He records his first college interception, plays 13 games. He leads the team in tackles for loss, quarterback hurries, blocked kicks, and forced fumbles. And he's voted the team's MVP, which has to be so cool for a player to be, great talent, recognizing talent.
Right.
Then 2011 was a sad season for Badger fans. Watt decided to skip his senior year, entered the draft, and is selected by Houston as the 11th overall pick and the first defensive end. He signs a 4-year, 11 and nearly a $500,000 contract. Then he goes on to play 12 incredible seasons in the NFL and retires in possibly the most commendable way possible. He has a kid and he realizes that he doesn't want to increase his chance anymore of developing CTE, getting brain damage from years of playing. So he announces he'll retire at the end of the 2022 season. And he does. But I guess I should pause for a moment and ask, did you follow along with Watt's?
Yeah, you couldn't help but. I mean, it's just, a Wisconsin sports fairy tale come to life. He's got great brothers, great parents. We got long before you had the Kelsey brothers, you had the Watt family. And they were always nothing but gracious, delightful, as you saw them being interviewed. And, while it would have been interesting to have him as a Packer, the fact that you get into any football team and, have the kind of, near legendary career that he's had, he has every reason to spend his 35th birthday, looking back and being proud of what he's done, but then looking ahead with a family, so good on him.
Yeah. And when you said it would have been great to have him here in Green Bay, that's the other part of his legacy that to so many people is even more meaningful than his work on the field. He really ingratiated himself within the communities, whether it was Arizona or Houston, and he was just like a giant philanthropist. So after Hurricane Harvey, he went right to those families and raised more than $2 million for them individually, just That's from right. the simple tweet that he put out. And he quietly has granted thousands of make-a-wishes. He invests in food banks. He was a major donor during COVID to help get masks into communities that needed them, food into communities that needed them. So for that element alone, it would have been great to have his philanthropic efforts here in Wisconsin. But wherever he's able to make a difference, he's doing it. And we're just proud that he has any sort of Wisconsin attached to his name.
I was going to say, yes, he's definitely making Wisconsin proud, whatever he does. What a very nice, uplifting story. It's why we call this segment The Uplift. Three great stories about Wisconsin sports. You can find all that and more in our newsletter out every weekday morning. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie, thanks very much.
Have a great day, everyone.
But to come back to the story I was telling about the watching the Olympics and the Sunday morning gold medal game, the U.S. against Finland.
Yeah.
I was in church.
Yeah.
I want to thank the person who on the text line sent, missed the game with Finland. That's what Saturday night mass is for, Mr. Kreitlow. He's right. I could have gone to church Saturday night, but no, it was on Sunday. So bad fan on me, I guess, or bad church.
You just can't win this one, can you?
No, you really can't. You really can't. So, okay, moving on here. The developments with former President Trump yesterday were twofold. An appeals court took that $464 million civil fraud judgment bond that he was supposed to pay by yesterday and reduced it to $175 million with no explanation and gave him 10 more days to come up with the money as well. So, a big victory for the president, and all the more reason why people kind of look at all of this suspiciously and say, who talked to whom and what was said that led to this? Things like that don't just happen in a vacuum. They wouldn't happen for you or me. But on the other hand, Trump found out yesterday that he will go on trial starting 3 weeks from now, April 15th. He's charged by the Manhattan District Attorney with 34 counts of falsifying business records stemming from the hush money payments that were made just before the 2016 election to adult film star Stormy Daniels to keep her from going public about an alleged affair. So he did falsify business records, the prosecution maintains, to the point that he should go on trial. A lot of folks are thinking the hush money payments to a porn star, maybe not the best thing to go to trial first when you've got top secret documents being stored sloppily, when you've got election interference, but those trials are moving along at their own pace. And either way, Trump still becomes the first former president to go on trial for a crime. Kristen Lyerly coming up in a bit. Today's History Lesson 2 on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. There was once a time, you youngins, when Diana Ross was the queen of the pop charts. This was in the pre-Michael Jackson King of Pop era. Diana Ross turns 80 years old today. So happy birthday to former leader of the Supremes. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is 84. Comedic actor Martin Short is 74. And Jennifer Grey is 64. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing turns 64.
Baby 64.
Baby is 64. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us as well for today's history lesson and a Supreme Court preview coming up after the top of the hour. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
I'm so good. That makes me feel really
You have a glow about you, you know?
Yes, it's called sunshine.
Is that sunshine and palm trees and things. So thank you for taking some time on, you know, what was going to be your break to talk to us and also, you know, spin a few records here. That was nice of you.
Well, thanks for inviting me to come for the music portion of the show, which is, you know, I love the news, but music is where my heart is.
Absolutely. So we'll get back to more of that in just a sec. But yeah, big Supreme Court case that we're going to be talking about coming up after the top of the hour. And do you have any big things planned while you've got a few days off with the family?
We're going to go to Costco and get some groceries. Oh my God. Yeah, we're going to go snorkeling. And I'm in Puerto Rico. And there are bioluminescent bays here where there are microorganisms that live in the water. And when you disrupt the water, they light up. So there are only 5 bioluminescent bays in the world, and 3 of them are in Puerto Rico.
And one of them is in Grand Cayman. And I took a kayak through one of them one dark night. And it is the coolest thing. As you put your paddle into the water, it looks like a lightsaber from Star Wars, the way it just glows as it goes through the water. It is so cool. You're going to love it.
I'm really excited. The kids are super excited about it. And they're teenage boys, so they don't get excited about it too much.
Oh, they're going to like that. They're going to like that very much. Let's see. We've got one more birthday here. Steven Tyler, Aerosmith, 76 today. I do not believe he is touring anymore. Is Aerosmith touring?
I thought they were.
Are they? At least recently they were.
Yeah.
Were they? Oh, okay. I just haven't seen him for a while or heard about a tour. And I thought, because that man can hit some notes.
Yeah.
That man can hit some notes. And I thought, oh, maybe finally he got to the point where it's like, no, I'm not hitting him anymore. I'm not going to do this. But no, if he's still getting it done, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
On this day in 1979, Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, and Jimmy Carter signed the Egypt-Israel peace treaty at the White House. Another birth anniversary, Teddy Pendergrass was born this day in 1950, passed away in 2010. But before he had a string of his own R&B hits, he was lead singer for Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
I'm feeling very Motown right now with Diana Ross.
I know. I love this. Yep. We already mentioned Rich Girl was number one this day in 1977. Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson was number one this day in 1988. We'll spin that one a little bit later on. And one more birthday to tell you about. Country singer Kenny Chesney turns 56 today.
She ain't a fool in me. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
It's just that one of the dumbest songs.
Oh, no. Uh-oh, shots fired over sexy tractors.
No. I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it's one of the dumbest. I've seen him twice, and I danced both times he played this song. So.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're honest about that.
Yeah. He's turned into the Jimmy Buffett of country music.
Oh, totally. Once he decided to kind of go that Jimmy Buffett route, no shoes, no shirt, no problem. I mean, that lane was wide open for the taking, and yep. He just stepped right in it. And
Kenny Chesney goes tropical.
Yes, and he's not looking back. He's a very, very. I saw a long interview with him. Was it CBS Sunday Morning? Someplace did a long profile on him. And it's like he was struggling till he finally found his voice, and his voice happened to be involving palm trees and sand. Yeah. So,
and I think we just wrote his next song for him, which is The Tropical Tractor.
The
Tropical Tractor.
I like that.
Uh-huh. Are you feeling it? It's about combing the beach in the morning. I'm feeling this. Kenny, if you're listening, you can have that one for free.
Head to Puerto Rico.
No, you cannot.
Did she just give away our song idea for
free? I was going to say, what?
Hold on.
It's all
here.
The publishing, baby.
Actually, talk to my agent. His name is Greg Bach. Greg, you got this.
There. Perfect. Leonard Nimoy was born on this date, which is why today is National Live Long and Prosper Day. So I guess we have to say, we have to show each other our little hand sign. Can you do the little thing? Oh, everybody's doing it with their hands, the little separate your fingers thing. So we got that going for us. It's a National Spinach Day. Spinach got such a bad rap when I was younger, except for, you needed the Popeye cartoons to say, well, you got to eat your spinach to make it big and strong. Because all we ever saw of spinach, being a city kid, was that gross stuff in the can. It's all slimy and wet. And the first time I had a spinach salad, I'm like, this is what actual spinach is? This is good. Why are we canning this stuff,
So we can bounce it off of our biceps.
Yeah.
Duh.
We like smack it on the counter and it just opens up and goes right into our gullet.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine iceberg lettuce in a can. No, that's never going to work.
Everything was canned though when we were kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But again, marrying a farm girl like I did, she was amazed to come visit my place where I grew up in the suburbs. And it was the first time she'd ever seen like a whole spaghetti dinner come from a box. Remember the old Kraft spaghetti thing?
Yeah.
Where it had a little tiny can of tomato sauce and then the noodles and the Parmesan cheese were all just in the box there. And we're like, well, yeah, that's a meal right there.
What's for
like,
dinner? Salisbury steak. Open up the box and take off the tin.
Yep. Take off the tin foil. You
know. Well, leave the tin foil on, though, for the little apple thing.
Yeah, exactly. God, we were just so dumb. It's Diabetes Alert Day today. Epilepsy Awareness Day.
Food, it's Diabetes Alert Day.
Yeah. It's National Nougat Day. I think Nougat did not look at the calendar before picking today. It's National Solitude Day, and it's National Wear a Hat Day. I should have tipped you off, Kristen, whether you have your beach hat handy or do you not have a beach hat. You better, right?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. You better. I'm sure you know
a dermatologist or two who would take issue with you.
I took this up with the dermatologist because, of course, they say stay out of the sun. But then the other doctors say you need vitamin D. And I'm like, what do we do? And they were like, find a happy medium, Dr. Lyerly.
Well, you are. You're going to be by the ocean, which, of course, is vitamin C. See what I did there?
Back with more right
after this. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls and Puerto Rico on the Civic Media Radio Network. Turns her on.